It is grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ that he wants you to have. And so it's proclaimed to you. And there's going to be lots proclaimed to you in the next days because we're fast approaching Easter, aren't we? It is going so fast that I can hear people already starting to think it won't be long and it will be Christmas. But now is a time to stop and pause because we're preparing for Easter and this time of Lent as it moves on. When we focus today and hear from the Gospel of John, we hear of Mary's act of true devotion. She, amazingly, takes a very, very expensive nard perfume and she breaks the top off and she pours it on Jesus' feet. And then she wipes her feet with her hair. And she does this in the presence of others. This event takes place 6 days before the Passover. The Passover, that special feast that God's people would have every year to celebrate when God delivered them out of Egypt, out of slavery, bondage, false gods. He's taken them out and they would have this Passover meal. You remember then that they would have to sacrifice a lamb and they would have to eat it. And at the time of the Exodus, nothing was to remain, but they were to put the blood over the doorpost, weren't they? And the angel of death passed by their house. And by faith in that Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, the one coming, they knew they had life. And so the Passover was celebrated, but now we're getting right to the point of the last Passover to be celebrated. And here's Jesus. He's at Bethany. He's at a house where he loves to be, a house where he's most welcome. And on this occasion, there's a meal being held in his honour. In his honour. In that house at that time, there's Lazarus. Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days and Jesus brought him back to life. Wouldn't you think that's reason enough to have a dinner for honouring Jesus? And I wonder what you would do to celebrate Jesus bringing a member of your family who had died for 4 days dead back to life. How would you honour Jesus? Well, we pick up the scene. Lazarus is certainly every part alive. He's reclining at the table with others. And at this point, Mary comes and with this expensive perfume, the exorbitant amount of pure and precious nard, which was made of myrrh, which is the juice of an Arabian myrtle, she anoints Jesus' feet. Mark and Matthew tell us that Mary poured the ointment on Jesus' head. But John especially mentions that Mary anointed Jesus' feet lavishly, profusely, and using that ointment to the extent that such a large amount caused the fragrance to fill the whole house. No one could miss out what was going on. And then once applied, Mary then used her hair to wipe her Lord's feet. This was a spontaneous and sincere act, true devotion, loving loyalty. And it raises the question, what inspired Mary for this devotion, this loving loyalty to Jesus? Was it only that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead? Or did it have something to do with the conversation that resulted after Martha was talking to Jesus, just before Lazarus had died? Martha came out to meet Jesus when he got there. And she said, "Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." And remember his words, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And he asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" Now, at the end of that conversation, Jesus asked for Mary to be brought to where he is talking to Martha. This is amazing. Jesus has such a concern for Mary that she too receives comfort at this time. And so he calls for her to be brought to him to do that. So was it that? Was it the joy of knowing Jesus loved her that much to comfort her when she was really down and out? Or was it the fact that Mary sat at Jesus' feet in the early days of his ministry and she loved listening to his teaching, teaching that assured her that he was her Lord and Saviour, true God, who had come in the flesh to be the one who would sacrifice himself for her sins? Was that what led Mary to this devotion? Well, it's all of these things combined. And we see that as he is ministering to her, he is true love. And he's filled her heart. And in pure devotion, sincere devotion, she does this act of anointing his feet and wiping them with her hair. Mary knew there was little time left. Jesus had made it plain that he would soon be handed over, he would be killed, and that he would not be with them very much longer. She took what time she had to show the devotion she had to him. That's worth a thought, isn't it? Who of us know how long we're going to live? Who of us, after an appointment with the doctor and he says you've got high blood pressure, start worrying, it might be today? How much do we have in our minds to have the opportunity to show pure devotion to our Lord? I don't know about you, but I know for myself, I get so caught up in the world that I often lessen my devotion to Jesus as I should. If that's you, like me, be assured that Jesus has come for you too. And he has taken that lack of devotion into his pure devotion to follow the Father's will to die on the cross for you. You're forgiven. In the midst of this devotional act from Mary, we see a contrast, and it's from not just Judas. Matthew tells us that the other disciples as well, they had a response that was pretty negative towards Mary and her act. They said, "Why this waste?" But it's Judas who responds to this act of true devotion by showing that he had lost whatever he had in relation to true love that Jesus had given him when he started following Jesus. He'd lost it. And he had turned. He had been moving from the faith that he had to a faith that was killed. And he became very greedy. He had access to the money bag, and we know that old saying, you might be able to fill it in for me, the more you get, the more you want. And so easy it is to be taken over, you see. So much so that there's a lesson here for us to be on guard, to be on guard. In Hebrews chapter 2, the early verse, we're told to be on guard, not to neglect coming into worship, for God to be here with us, to rest with him, and for him to minister to our hearts. Don't neglect it, we were warned. And then in Galatians chapter 6, at the early start, we're told to be very careful when we're helping another Christian recognize their sinfulness in order that we bring them forgiveness. We're told there by the Apostle Paul, you who are spiritual, if you see one of your brothers or sisters sinning, you are to restore them gently. But in so doing, be careful that you too don't fall into temptation. And then there's that very hold-fast verse that we should all keep to mind. Whoever thinks they stand, take heed lest you fall. There's not a single temptation that is known amongst people that we can't fall to. So we're called to be on guard. Well, in this instance, we can see what's happening around Mary, and it's very sad because the disciples, particularly Judas, they should not have chastised her. They should have applauded her actions and in humility realized that they lacked true devotion for the Saviour who loved them truly. I wonder, have you thought what Judas, his reaction and his words to Mary, what it did to her. Have you thought about that? Maybe you can think about a real life situation of something similar to this, but it would have caused, firstly, unpleasantness and shame. And then there was the confusion that would have come to her conscience, because she was doing an act of devotion, true devotion, for her true love, Jesus. And so her conscience is seared, and should have I done this, or should have I given the money to the poor? It would have disturbed her love, and it put down her honourable devotion. It's pretty horrible, isn't it? And so in the midst of this, we see Jesus come to the fore as he does. And he speaks for Mary. He simply says three words, leave her alone. Leave her alone. And in those words, Jesus affirmed her actions and her devotions, her devotion as being godly, an act of faith in her Saviour. But the best news for Mary, and the highest comfort Jesus could give her, was in the words that this life-saving news of the gospel, that he had come to redeem all people, that it would be proclaimed throughout the world and it wouldn't be withheld from anyone. For he said, this gospel is going to be proclaimed throughout the whole world, and every time it is, there's going to be a remembrance of Mary's act. That gave her real comfort. That gave her real joy, because Jesus was there for her. He had been there for her family. When we hear that the account of Mark and Matthew, they say this occurred in the house of Simon the leper. Well, Simon the leper, it is understood he's either Lazarus' father or Martha's husband. He was a leper Jesus had healed. Lazarus, a man Jesus had brought back to life. Mary, a woman who had received healing in her heart by the word that Jesus had spoken. You're forgiven, I've come for you. And this true love of Jesus for a broken heart was hers. Do you know that true love? Do you know that love by which he laid down his life into death for you, so that you could be brought from death to life? And this is what is a joy then, because knowing that Jesus has come to you in that water of baptism to live in you and you to live in him, you get to honour him. It becomes something that wells up very easily in your heart. I hope you get to experience what I did just meditating on this text through this last week. It was very interesting how the Holy Spirit is in power at work in our hearts to lead us in devotion to Jesus. And some of that devotion includes turning away from what is wrong and sinful and evil and putting on the mind of Christ. Well, you get to honour him in your lives. I want to tell you a little story that happened this week, and I'm going to just come over here so Nathan can see me, because I reckon Nathan's about the youngest one here. And this story sort of connects with someone his age. I had the joy of visiting a fellow Christian in her home, and as we were talking, she wanted to share her life story. I knew nothing about her, but she wanted to share her life story. And so I was listening to her life story, and she said, you know, I love Jesus. I've loved him from a very young age. She said, even when I was very young, she said, I wanted to marry him. And I said, how old were you? She said, I was 12 years old. It's a bit silly, isn't it? She said. I said, no, that's not silly. What I was witnessing was a woman whose love, Jesus' love, had captured her true love. And her whole life then, she kept unfolding what happened through her life. And she had a very awkward, difficult life. But Jesus was with her. And she kept saying how he just kept unfolding things for her and caring for her, providing for her and loving her. And as I listened to her story and how it unfolded, she had an impact in other people's lives because of her devotion to Jesus. And I want to share that with you, Nathan, because you're younger. You've got your whole life to live. It's ahead of you. And I want to share that as a great hope that Jesus comes to you with the forgiveness that he has for you for every day going forward. You get to spend your whole life doing that. For some of us, we only get to spend the last few years of our life because Jesus, that love, true love, only comes into our hearts then. And you might have seen a person that that's experienced to and how it frees them, it opens them to love like they've never loved before. And so that's what Jesus is here for you today too. Through this account of Mary, for you to receive true love himself. And you receive that true love when you receive his very body and blood in Holy Communion. And that true love, you can honour. First, honour him in your hearts by faith. And honour him among your family in your home. How might you do that? To read his word together, to pray together, to have the joy of speaking his love to each other, his forgiveness for each other. And to honour Jesus openly before others as you serve in your work and your community with joy and knowing that you have a love that can't be put out. It's a flame that burns and it cannot be extinguished. That's not something you'll do from your own energy. It will well up as you read God's word, as you read what Jesus has done for you. He fills your heart. He ignites the love, true love himself there in your heart, leading to true devotion. That devotion can be giving thanks for all the marvelous things he's done. But that true devotion can also be included in the difficulties that we experience in life. True devotion to love as he's loved you. For example, loving as a husband or a wife when your spouse isn't so loving. Loving as a father and a mother when your children aren't so loving. Loving as a child when your mother or father aren't so loving. And loving as a grandparent when you know your grandchildren don't want to come and see you. In those places, true love, Jesus himself filling your heart, never stops your devotion. And your calling to be who you're called to be in those times and those places, to be there for them and to bring those words that Jesus has for them. For he loves all people. And with this understanding, we become his missionary lights in the world. Enjoy receiving Jesus, your true love, and take great joy in being able to live in true devotion to him until he calls you home, where you'll give true devotion to him without a sinful nature in heaven, a true devotion that will rejoice forever. And so the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from this time forward and forevermore. Amen.